everybody. This is Jim Cornette, pro wrestling legend, and you're listening to the Book in the Territory Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode 104, January 22nd, 1994. We're still in Chilhowee High School in Chilhowee, Virginia. No demographics. Doc covered that last week. But before we jump into this thing, Doc, you got anything for us today? You like to always stir the shit at the beginning of the show.
I believe the term for the demographics would be poor white trash.
There we go. More bullshit there, you know. Just
who read their book. Read their book. Read their book of fairy tales.
On Sundays.
You know, smoke you, you know what's funny about that? I bet you Cornette loved that line from Warren when he said it. He was like, yeah, go with that. That's good.
Of course. No, I'm really feeling blessed. I'm just hoping, you know, we've been now at this for a little over almost an hour and a half. I hope Harper's fully awake because in the last episode he kept yawning throughout it and he was late.
Bored.
Oh, no.
You gave an 8.0 show a board score. Okay. That's nice. Harper, how you doing, man? You good?
I'm doing great, Mike.
Harper, you know what I found on TV recently, lately? I kind of had a little bit of insomnia in the last week, and there was a couple days last week I found Sanford and Son on TV late at night.
Oh, God.
That's fucking awesome. I always felt bad for him because he lived in that shitty-ass house.
Bullshit. That show is great. You want to talk about unprofessional in a time when, I don't know, man, it's like, half of the shit they would say on that show now, like the fucking, you know, Twitter, the Twitter and the Facebookers who get offended at everything would be out in full force.
Yeah.
Because Fred Sanford gave zero fucks.
Well, and how poor could he be? I mean, they had two stories on that house. And if you know anything about Red Fox was doing stand-up comedy that was fucking out there, dude. Dirty as shit.
Well, of course, but I'm just saying, like, the shit that his stand-up comedy wasn't on national TV on a freaking major station. Sanford and Son was, and it was clean language, but the stuff he would say was not quote-unquote clean. It's just great stuff, man. It was good TV, man. I'm sitting there in the fucking bedroom popping and laughing my ass off, like, wow, you know, how far we have come. We went from that to everybody's offended by everything now.
That's your people.
Nah, it's everybody. It's fucking everybody. Everybody's a snowflake. Well, 90% of the people are snowflakes, but that's another discussion for another day. Let's get into this shit. Dutch and Bob Caudle open up the show, and Doc, do you want to talk through what fucking the Dutch is doing? I don't know. I feel like he's
I don't
very
know.
Energetic.
I think he's energized. I think Caudle just says it. Bob says, "What are you working out for, Dutch?"
Oh, yeah, when he's got the hoodie on.
Yeah.
Look at him, dude. He's like shadow boxing, and he even says it. He's like, "I'm feeling energetic. I'm feeling good." Look at him. What is this shit?
Fuck, he looks like the Unabomber.
Maybe the Smoky Mountain Human Resources team put together a team building session for the Smoky Mountain crew, and they're feeling energized.
Maybe so. But anyway, so we do get he's in his Everlast outfit. He's working out. He's very energetic. Dutch does tell us that Dirty White Boy will face Candido for the Beat the Champ TV title. And that was that. So anything else you got from that, Harper, as we go through it?
You better have the FF button on.
Bruh. Jesus Christ. Go ahead. I'm listening.
I think it's now the next 7 minutes or
Yes. Nope. It's the shits. So I will tell everybody what happens, and then we'll move forward. Jason Hurd, Robbie Eagle against the Moondogs. Moondogs get DQ'd. I don't like it. I hate it. In the middle of the match, they cut to the Bruise Brothers cutting another bullshit promo. It's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just fucking dumb. I can't wait for it to end.
That guy's fat, huh?
Dude, it's just stupid. It is really just dumb. This whole Moondogs thing is just... And it's not just a Moondog. I'm shitting on the Moondogs, even though that's just part of it. 75% of this is Bruise Brothers just stupidity. The promos are fucking dumb. It's just really, really dumb. And I'm not playing a promo. We're gonna go to the next thing. Doc, you have anything else?
Is that really Jim Herd's kid?
Well, that was true. They did say that. Dutch said that on commentary. I don't think so. There's no way.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I didn't think it was either. I
Dutch
was like,
said it twice.
I was heard. I was like, where have I heard that? Heard. I was like, Jim Hurd. And then then I'm like, yeah, that's his kid. I'm like, yeah, what?
Dutch said it twice. Dutch said Jason Hurd was a son of Jim Hurd. But they're just working. I doubt that to be a fact. Yeah. I didn't look it up, but I'm pretty sure that's just Dutch fucking around with Jim Hurd because. You know, Corny and Hurd and
right.
That good shit. But anyway, so we'll keep it moving because this is bullshit. Dirty White Boy, I'm sorry. Caudle throws us to a recent Morristown match between Dirty White Boy and Primetime Byron Lee. It must have been non-title because the Dirty White Boy wins, but he's still the champ. Not Dirty White Boy's a champ, but Primetime Byron Lee. Then they cut to a clip where Candido gets involved in it, and Candido splashes Dirty White Boy. Smothers comes out to clear the ring and makes a save, but then it ends up being Smothers getting his ass beat too. The bell is ringing constantly. Basically, it's Primetime Byron Lee and Candido laying it down on Smothers and Dirty White Boy. Doc, did you have anything from this?
You see all that crowd on the hard camera side? That man, they were standing throughout this shit. One of those dudes was yelling his ass off.
He wasn't happy with what was going on, bro.
This shit was real to these motherfuckers.
I was wondering, man.
I guess maybe that when Smothers came down, maybe his rebel flag trunks had a Hershey stain in them or something because he was wearing black trunks.
Oh yeah, that's down. True.
It's like,
was he
maybe? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't notice, but okay.
You got to notice everything, pal. And yeah. I guess we're gonna get Candido over with Primetime now. All right.
Well, I mean, his broad is with Primetime, so
we don't know that. And his broad, his broad's probably
I say
with
him.
So
I mean, what,
that's nice.
I'm talking about in the wrestling. Fucking, I'm talking about it from a wrestling standpoint, dumbass.
If that's the case, then the whole roster is just one big stable.
Wow.
You're such an asshole.
Probably like the NWO, where they just add fucking everybody.
Choo-choo! Running a train, brother.
That's nice.
That's classy. Okay, so, but... All that goes down, and again, it's just building up heat between those folks with Dirty White Boy and Byron Lee. But we'll keep going. So Dirty White Boy and Smothers, they come out. They're going to cut a promo, and let's go to that promo right now.
Hey, fans with us right now, here's the Dirty White Boy, and I tell you, we've been anxious to find out. I know you got some... Tracy Smothers. Tracy?
White Boy, I'm sorry to interrupt your interview. But I want to tell you one thing that we've discussed in private. I want to tell all the folks in Chilhowee, Virginia, and the millions of people watching at TV, you're one hell of a man. Now, White Boy, I may not like you, and you may not like me, but I think there's a mutual respect between us right there, and I can guarantee you one thing on this tag match we got coming up with Byron Lee and Chris Candido. On my word as a man, I will fight as hard with you as I did against you. Put it there.
Ooh. And Tracy Smothers, well, I'm not sure I know, and I know the fans don't know what kind of match we're talking about here.
Everything is starting to look real, real good for the Dirty White Boy. Bloody Sunday, that's what I'm looking forward to February the 13th in the Knoxville Coliseum. It's been signed for the Smoky Mountain heavyweight title, a Tennessee chain match. And not only one time and one time only, walking the aisle, not in a wheelchair, but walking the aisle in my corner is going to be the legendary Ron Wright.
Wow.
Now the man is the master. He is the living legend of the chain matches. Ron Wright has fought everybody, most of it around this area right here. He has had more chain matches than anybody on the face of God's green earth. He's took his lumps, he's took his bruises. The man has bled enough blood to float a battleship. The man is truly a living legend. And right there in Knoxville on February the 13th, there's no way in hell that the Dirty White Boy is going to lose with my mentor and my idol, Ron Wright, sitting in my corner. No way. I'll put my right hand, I'll put my right hand to God. Come bloody Sunday, February the 13th, I will walk out the Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion and primetime Brian Lee. There's not one thing you or Tammy Fitch can do about it, because like I said, the living legend himself will be in my corner. A 12-foot chain. They're going to strap us together, tough guy. And I don't honestly think that you're man enough to get the job done. And there's going to be some bloodshed. And it's going to be all yours, prime time. I will see you February the 13th in K-Town.
Sunday, bloody Sunday, fan. It's certainly going to be that. We'll be back right after this.
They popped when he said, I raise my right hand to God. Doc, what did you have?
Man, Smothers and Dirty White Boy, man, they're going to go make out. Now we got a bromance going.
Okay.
They're buddies, man. It's time for the buddy flick. Tango and Cash and shit. Dude, we need Ron Wright back. I've missed him. And he's going to walk the fucking aisle, too, man. Fuck that wheelchair. He's a fucking grown-ass man. He don't need that shit.
They were popping the whole time on this shit.
Yeah.
I know, can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I know we've seen these picks before, but damn.
I was just thinking. Ron Wright was a bad son of a bitch, bro.
He said he had bled enough to float a battleship, and I started thinking about it. I was like, how much did he really bleed over the years? Like, what kind of container would that fill?
And none of it's, most of it's not on video. Well, nearly, almost all of it's not on video. But there's a couple of videos out there from those days, but not much. But
not enough.
Yeah.
Obviously not enough. Harper, what'd you have from this?
Ryan Wright's coming back. I mean, fuck. Are we going to be able to see this?
I think we see the recap from Sunday Bloody Sunday. I can't remember. I don't think we get the whole match, but yeah.
How long must we sing this song?
Yo, we're going to get to that in a minute.
Wait, what?
We'll get there in a minute.
All right.
Okay, so
you didn't think I was gonna let that pass.
Y'all two are texting each other behind my back. That's real nice.
Here's the deal, pal. Smothers and Dirty White Boy are buddies, just like me and Harper. You're the odd man out here, so just keep the show rolling, and we'll take care of everything else.
Okay, that's nice.
You black asshole. That's nice.
It's funny because you're black and you're an asshole.
Both of y'all can go fuck yourselves because y'all are both assholes that fool the people weekly. Are we playing a local promo?
Which one?
I think you need to play the sunny one because Brian Matthews popped me at the end.
Yeah. You're going to do that.
Here it is.
Texas death match. If Bullet wins, Bob Armstrong becomes commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling again. If Bullet loses, he must leave. And before he leaves, he must kiss Jim Cornette's feet. The Bullet against Terry Funk, and also the Smoky Mountain title on the line. It's a Tennessee chain match. Primetime Brian Lee with Tammy Fitch against the Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright in Knoxville.
I don't know what I'm going to do. He finally got what he wanted. He's gonna have a chain match with Brian. And the worst part about it is Ron Wright's coming back. We crippled him. He shouldn't come back. He's going to walk out to the ring. And he's the king of the chain matches. It's his specialty, and he's never lost one as long as I've ever known. And I've watched matches of these chain matches, and it's the bloodiest match that could possibly happen. And oh, I'm gonna have a huge dry cleaning bill if I get blood splattered on me. And if Brian loses the belt, he's not gonna be able to buy me all the presents he keeps buying me. I don't know what to do. I gotta go call Daddy.
You do that. Sunday, Bloody Sunday, Knoxville Coliseum. You're going to see the Tennessee-Alabama match with the UT helmet on the pole. The Heavenly Bodies against Mike and Doug Furman.
God damn it.
What? Dude. I hit stop? What?
We don't need to see the corny side. It's okay, but we wanted to watch the first part because Brad Matthews was just disgusted with Sunny. That shit was funny.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So anything else you want to add?
You go do that. Just get the fuck out of here, you trifling bitch.
Get out of here, you bitch.
You're going to call your fucking daddy?
Dude, while we're talking about broads, so I tweeted out this week, Serena Williams, or somebody reported on a story that Serena Williams told her husband after Wimbledon she wanted Italian food for dinner, and her husband literally flew her to Venice, Italy.
Oh.
So I tweeted out, that's really nice. The problem with that is some dumb bitch out there is going to go, oh, look how sweet her husband is. No, bitch, her husband ain't sweet. He's fucking rich. There's a difference. Fuck. See shit like that? See fucking dudes like that? They ought to be fucking slapped till they fucking stupid or stupider because they're dumb. Anyway,
well, here's the other question. How come I can see the difference in those people's situation in my own, but my broad can't?
That's what I'm saying. Really. These broads are like,
I'm not mad at that dude for doing that. Live his life. I don't give a shit what he does. Just don't expect me to do what everybody else does.
That's a good point. I'm just saying. These fucking broads are like, oh my God, that's so sweet. No. He's rich, bitch. Fuck. All right, Jeff Victory versus Louis Spicoli is up next. Nice little story from Cotto about Spicoli. He said Spicoli was supposed to be in the tournament for the U.S. Junior title, the one that Bobby first won, but he was out of the country at the time, so he couldn't make it. So now Spicoli is here, and he's here to battle Candido for the U.S. Junior title. Spicoli does get the win. Doc, thoughts?
How many somas do you think old Louis has coursing through his veins right here?
I'm not going there. I don't know. Why are you asking that?
I don't know.
Why do you think he's got somas going through his veins?
Well, he died from an overdose. He's 22, and he died 5 years later from an overdose.
I wish you would have did that fucking same thing.
Yeah.
Hey.
Thanks for agreeing. What do you have from the match, Hopper?
So Piccoli looks like Shane Douglas and Hugh Morris had a baby.
Yeah, I know, huh? I thought that was Hugh Morris at first.
I'm not going to shit on Spicoli. He was very talented.
I didn't. How's that shitting on him? That's what he looks like.
Okay. That's your opinion.
He worked kind of slow, did he not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his finisher looked too much like a jawjacker for my taste.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was at first.
I didn't really care one way or another. Well,
why are we even doing this?
I know.
I mean, I just watched
the match. Why am I sitting here talking to you on a fucking Saturday? Whatever day, it's Friday.
You don't even know what day it is. He got the win, and we move on. Okay, the Bullet. We got the Bullet up next. Let's hear the Bullet respond to the shit that went down with he and Cornette, or what Cornette said last week. So here it is.
You know, I'm just here reading this contract, and I believe it's the worst contract I've ever had to sign in my professional career, but I had to get what I wanted. You see, I'm tired of playing games, Cornette. That's why I let you have your way. I said, pick any stipulation you want to pick. Let's just get it over with. I want Bob Armstrong back in here as commissioner, especially now that you've got somebody in high places. And I can tell you've got somebody in high places on the board of directors for this contract I had to sign. Not only is it a Texas death match with Terry Funk, who's never been beaten in a Texas death match. Everybody knows his father invented the Texas death match. In fact, Terry Funk put Bob Armstrong out of the Smoky Mountain area, and that's why the bullet was born, and that's why I'm here. So I had to sign this contract, and I noticed right down at the very bottom, if I do lose this match, not only is Bob Armstrong gone forever, the bullet is gone forever. And when the match is over, I've got to crawl across the ring and kiss your feet. Now, who ever heard of a contract like that? You had to have a friend in high places to get that done. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. I'd rather take my last breath on God's green earth than to crawl across the ring and kiss your feet. Now, Terry Funk did beat Bob Armstrong, but he has yet to beat the bullet. So I'll be ready, willing, and you know I'm able. And I'll prove again that the bullet is bad to the bone.
Harper, thoughts on Bullet Bob right there?
It is true. He didn't beat the bullet, motherfucker. You beat Bob Armstrong, but not the bullet.
Yeah. I mean, he ain't lying, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? Got a point. So.
But he sounds just like him.
I know. I can't figure it out,
what
bro.
The
I really can't.
Fuck.
I cannot figure it out. It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen.
I want to get one of those shirts he's wearing.
The one that Bullet had on?
Yeah, fucking Bullet Bob shirt. That'd be badass.
I'll pass. Doc, what do you have from this?
Whoa.
He said that Corny had to have somebody on the board of directors to make that kind of match. But last week we heard that he would do anything to get the match, so he accepted the stipulation. So I'm confused.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Okay.
They're dragging this out, man. I'll tell you that much. There's a few people out there that are listeners of ours that don't like this angle. I'm just going to say that.
Well, because it's that old kind of, it's just been done so many times, and it's kind of, you know, it's hokey as fuck.
Well, and it's being milked to the extreme.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, the last drop is coming out of this shit. I mean, they already unmasked him, but he had a mask on. Under the mask, so it's,
right.
It's just being further milked. But okay, let's keep it moving. Down and Dirty with Dutch is up next. And before Dutch interviews Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies, they show all the shenanigans with Paul Morton being attacked by Cornette. And they don't show the attack, but they show all the shenanigans that happen. And Dirty White Boy's explanation of Paul Morton having Drano thrown in his eyes. I want to repeat, he allegedly had Drano thrown in his eyes. So with that said, let's go to Down and Dirty now, where Dutch is out there with Cornette, Pritchard, and Jimmy Del Rey eventually, but we'll see that in a second. Here it is.
Okay, fans, you saw it. I am joined here at the set of Smoking Mountain Wrestling for Down and Dirty with Jim Cornette and Dr. Tom Pritchard. And Jim, I just got a question or so to ask you. Last week, a lot of people have said that the line was crossed between you and the Rock and Roll Express with the incident that occurring with Ricky's dad, Paul Morton.
Oh, who cares about that old fossil? He's a bald-headed, nothing-happening goof. He's decrepit. He's about 124 years old. He was a big deal before electricity. Let me explain something. That old man tried to assault me. He tried to assassinate me. He put his hands on me first. Do you realize that? I tried to press charges, but they wouldn't take my statement. But I guarantee you this, I showed him who he was messing with. When that old man, when he struck me, I knocked him down just like that.
Wait. I was the one who knocked him down, Jim. I was the guy who knocked him down.
Well, I kicked him once he was down there, but it don't make any difference. The point is, Paul Morton got what he deserved because he started the whole thing. Now, they have added a match on February 13th in Knoxville, Sunday, Bloody Sunday. The Rock and Roll Express for the tag team title against the Bodies. That means that we've got to wrestle twice. The Furnaces in the Tennessee-Alabama match and the Rock and Roll Express. That's not fair.
How did they figure that for us to wrestle twice, to put the titles up and have to wrestle twice in one night? That's not fair.
It's not fair, but you see, they figure that's the only way that they can beat the Heavenly Bodies. Well, Ricky Martin, I think you're a psychopath. You're trying to get a hold of me at every opportunity. Well, it ain't going to work. The Rock and Roll are not going to beat the Bodies. Neither are the Furnaces. And all this talk about Paul Morton, well, that's no problem at all, because you see, Paul Morton's okay. He's fit as a fiddle and ready to play. As a matter of fact, he is right here today. So if you will back the camera up, Mr. Cameraman, pull back. I would like to introduce you to Mr. Paul Morton right here. Come on in here, Paul.
Oh,
no, come on.
Here's Paul Morton, and as you can see, he's looking better than ever. As a matter of fact, I bet you're a musical genius too, aren't you? He's a man of few words. Let me ask you a question, Tom. Have you seen Paul Morton's new suit?
No, I haven't, Jim.
Neither has he. That's your daddy, Paul, Ricky Morton. And I hope you like it, and I hope you realize.
Watch out. Oh, Dutch move. There come rock and roll, and there go Jim Cornette, and there go the Heavenly Bodies. Cornette is literally running for his life. Almost trapped, almost caught. Here he comes back this way again, and there he goes.
Oh. Well, hey, fans, don't go away. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Oh, where do we start? Harper, you want to chime in?
That was perfect. Because I'm sitting there watching. I was like, where's fucking Del Rey at? Right, he walks out doing that shit, bro. I tell you, he's a big kid, man. He's a big kid. And when they say Kane, like he's singing.
I'm playing it again for
We should have played that for the broads.
We should have gave him a fucking cup like he's trying to get money.
Look at him singing with the kid. Oh shit. God. That's Doc, great, your thoughts.
Man. Dude. The great part is he gives up the gimmick to rip off the glasses and run from the rock and roll. It's just, and I love Corny because he's always catering to the fans, because he just in case these idiots can't figure out that he's being Paul Morton, he tells them this is your daddy.
I came unglued when he said, "Have you seen Paul Morton's suit?" Neither
is
he.
Neither is he.
This is good TV, man. It's just one of those things where, like, well, like, even if you're like, man, fucking wrestling's fucking stupid and blah blah blah, dude. If you watch this shit, this is hilarious.
You can't. Right. Right. If you watch this shit, there's no way you could sit there and say. You might be like, wrestling's dumb, but if you're walking past your TV when this shit came on, there's no way you're sitting there going, this shit's dumb. You would come unglued. as bad as the Broad Logic show was, or Broad episode was, Doc, if you were to show this to Mrs. Doc,
they would shit on come it. They would absolutely shit on that.
I don't know. Mrs. Doc would laugh.
You want, I think, some other Stevie, do you want some other Stevie Wonder type jokes?
Yeah.
Sure, go ahead.
How did Stevie Wonder meet his wife?
Oh
God!
Blind date.
Oh.
How funny. Do you break? How do you break Stevie Wonder's neck?
How?
Speed up the music.
Oh fuck!
Wow. Okay. Anything else?
I'm looking here.
While you're looking, did you have anything from the local promo? That was after that segment. It's Candido and Tammy.
Hold on, let me get my paper got stuck in my Trapper Keeper. Nothing except that Brian Matthews at the beginning says Corny's going to be handcuffed to the high school principal at one of these.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine being that principal? Handcuffed to Corny. All right, Doc, anything else from the Jimmy Del Rey blind act?
Dude, that was great. He is a. I know there's a lot of people out there that associated with him that said he wasn't that fun to deal with.
Oh, really?
And anything else, that he had too much too soon, or whatever else you want to say. But I didn't have to deal with any of that, and this shit is glorious.
Yeah, since we didn't have to deal with him, we're like, this is awesome. We can deal with Del Rey.
They should have had wrestler's court and taken him to it if that was that big of a problem, because this shit's entertaining the fuck out of me.
Yeah, this is fucking great TV, man.
Just remember when he first came in and Corny was in Remember when he first came in and Corny was in bed with a neck brace and he was over there playing stuffed animals, having matches.
Yeah. He's I mean, just think all the time, like Hopper, when he was acting like he was beating a dog.
Yeah.
Or when he told the Steiners, I got a bone your dog can chew on. I mean, or when he's playing football with himself, he's throwing himself touchdowns, and he's just a fucking goofball, bro. Just a goofball. Just whatever. All right. We'll keep going. That was a fucking fantastic Down and Dirty. Yeah. Del Rey Blind. We'll go now to Mike and Doug Furness. Mike Furness says something, and there's a reason I'm playing it, because of what Furness says. Here it is.
Is it February 13th in Knoxville is the date and the place for the Tennessee-Alabama match with Mike and Doug Furness taking on the Heavenly Bodies. Let's hear this now from the Furnesses.
Everybody knows the stipulations to the match. February 13th, the helmet's on a pole, and if we lose the match, we have to wear an Alabama sweatshirt.
Helmet on a pole.
That ain't going to happen. I'd rather have my face rubbed in puke than that.
Boys, let me tell you something. When it comes down to being just athletic, what it's going to take to climb that pole, take a look and see who the best athletes are. It's not going to be.
Go ahead. Doc, give some commentary on it.
Dude, he's like, he's the Del Rey of this fucking tag team.
Except he's trying to be serious.
Right, exactly.
Doesn't work that way. I won't. I've got it played on a YouTube channel, but
Let me ask this.
Sure.
Isn't that a dangerous thing to come out and say if you're Furness? Is like, I'd rather have my face in puke, because you know wrestlers and they go, huh? That'd make a pretty good stipulation. Let's do that match. And the next thing you know, you've got some guy like Draws who can, he's gonna puke, and your face is in that shit.
I guess it's possible, but fuck.
He's gonna puke.
Any other thoughts on Mike Furness right there? The line did pop.
No, I don't have one single thought about this.
It looks like he's gonna puke himself.
This angle makes me want to puke.
Makes me want to puke too. Let's go now to, so Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies were run off by the Rock and Roll Express a second ago when Del Rey was playing blind and Ricky Morton didn't take too kind to that. So now Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies are back out here, and Cornette throws a hell of a line at Bob Caudle, but let's go listen to that right now because this is good.
Today, that's going to be Sunday, Bloody Sunday, February 13th in Knoxville, Tennessee, and Tennessee, Alabama. Jim Cornette, wait a minute.
Those guys are out of their mind. They're crazy. They're trying to kill somebody. You're letting it go on. Everybody right here is letting it go on. They're nuts.
Watch Del Rey.
I think your cup is about to run over on Bloody Sunday. Your cup's full, a little too full.
I think your cups have been full for 20 years. That's why you can't get an honest job. Let me say one thing right now. As far as the furnaces go, you're
now
a bunch of critters. You're going to jump ship just like that no good coward Heath Shuler. So we're not even worried about the furnaces. But Rock and Roll Express, you keep pulling tricks like that, I'm not only going to press charges for assault and battery, I'm going to see my lawyer, and you're going to be locked up in a penitentiary for a long time to come. They tried to injure us. Do you realize that? But then I got started thinking. I said, you know, it seems like since Paul Morton, Ricky Morton's father, is blind now, and Robert Gibson's mother's a deaf mute, if they ever got a romance going, the only way that they'd be able to find each other is by smell. But that shouldn't be hard, because they both stink. You stink, and the Rock and Roll Express stinks. You're all stinking.
Wait a minute. Here they come. The Rock and Roll.
Go.
And they're just... I know you guys. I know you guys are upset. Some bad upset, Rick.
Bob, you know, throughout the years of us wrestling Jimmy Cornette for all the years through, nothing like this has ever happened or occurred. But let me tell you one thing, Jimmy Cornette. You could take the Smoky Mountain titles, though, my daughter. We don't care about them anymore. You know, my dad always told me, he says, you know, that one big chance always comes around in life. Jimmy Cornette, God bless you, brother, because my chance is coming.
Now, Morton was really good there, but...
God, he was. He was great.
Yes, he was fantastic because he's playing a role of being emotionally moved, and he's really, really on it. I got to give him credit. That was exceptional. But Harper, you want to chime in at what went on with Cornette and then Del Rey, that who didn't talk, but he scored without the ball?
I tell you, when he mentioned Heath Shuler, that's a name I haven't heard in fucking years.
That guy's in government now.
Yeah, he was a shitty fucking quarterback.
Dude, and the fucking Saints gave like a fucking first-round draft pick to Washington for that bullshit.
Fucking Mike Ditka.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, Mike. The fuck?
But
yeah, that's fucking great. When he's, how can they find each other? That they can smell each other.
That was a great line.
Okay, so real quick, Harper, explain what Del Rey's doing.
And forget the fact that he called Cottle a drunk and said that's why he couldn't find a real job.
Yeah.
Look at Del Rey with the handcuffs on him. He's never talking the whole time, but he just constantly is acting. Like, look at him. Sign language. Okay. Okay. Now we're watching it on the YouTube and we're sharing screens, but Harper, you want to say what you said, what you thought of Heath Shuler? You want to say what you thought of Del Rey right there?
He's fucking great, and it sucks he's gone because I would love to have him on the show.
God, can you imagine the fuckery that would go on if he would be on?
Yeah,
Jesus. Doc, your thoughts? Look at him with the handcuffs.
I get the feeling that Jimmy Del Rey is this show's spirit animal.
Yeah. So doing sign language. Okay, Doc, your thoughts on
that
this?
We got it all there. It was all really good from top to bottom. Really good stuff. And then, you know, the continuing piece of the Rock and Roller trying to get their hands on him. And then from there, they morph into the upcoming, the pitch to into Sunday Bloody Sunday.
Yeah, I don't have a fucking clue. I don't have a clue what's being sung.
Right.
And I know that's what y'all been texting about. Y'all are sitting there texting with each other like a bunch of little schoolgirls. If you were next to each other, you'd probably be jerking each other off because you couldn't wait to get to this segment to fuck around with me about what song this is that I have no clue about.
Hey, pal, that's the days that you're talking about, 2018, when everything's scripted. Harper and I are old school. We didn't talk before the match. We're just working, pal. Together with chemistry.
Yeah, we called this shit in the ring.
So Sunday Bloody Sunday is a huge song from our childhood. This is one of the ones, like, look, it's fun to kick you in the nuts for things that weren't from the 70s or deep cuts from Lynyrd Skynyrd like a couple weeks ago. But this was main fucking stream, pal.
Yeah.
Am I wrong here?
Dude, this would be like Beat It or a Thriller or something.
For real.
What do you want?
Are y'all done? Are you done? Are you done? Yes.
What do you want from me?
Have you ever heard of a little band from across the pond called U2?
Yeah. What do you want from me, though?
That's them.
Good.
More than
do you want a fucking cookie now?
Want more than we're getting from you. That's what we want.
What do you want? What do you want? What do you want from me?
And I fear we'll never get it.
Okay. Anything else? I mean,
nothing.
What else? What else? Anything?
And I'm also looking at this card, man. This card looks good, man.
The card is great, to be honest, if we're going to be factual here. The only person they're bringing
weird
in.
Hearing this song, and it's Bullet Bob and getting beat up with fucking U2 playing in the background.
The tell you what I got about this, too, if you're watching the card and you're on the YouTube channel and can see it, is there's only one person coming in that's not a Smoky Mountain regular for the most part. Well, I guess you can consider Doug Furnace that too, but Funk and Furnace are the only ones who haven't been around. Everything else is awesome. I mean, this is this is Smoky Mountain guys.
Man, they've been here for the long haul. They got the Moondogs and the Bruise Brothers in a cage. They ought to throw one of those fumigation tents on it, put some poison in there, and just set them
some Breaking Bad type shit. Where they,
they just set off like a big Roach Motel like bomb off on that motherfucker.
All right, okay. So, anything else y'all want to say about Sunday Bloody Sunday? The card coming up.
Can't wait.
All right. The next matchup is Darryl Van Horn. He presents the Mummy, who is going to battle Jason West. Now, I will say this. I do have a soundbite that must be played from Darryl Van Horn that happens during this match. Van Horn does introduce the Mummy, but let's go right now. Listen to actually Van Horn in the middle of the match as he's got something to say about the Crackers.
Good sir, and look at this. Dust flies out, Doug.
Well, he's been in storage for 3,000 years. What do you expect?
This is terrible.
Well, it looks like they could have vacuumed him before they put him in the ring, wouldn't you think?
Okay, push ball.
And here comes Dale Vanna.
Okay.
Dutch and Bob are already tired of this horse shit and are making jokes about it. This guy's supposed to be a killer, and they already have decided this is some grade A bullshit. Because they're burying this shit. They could have vacuumed him. What the fuck was that? I mean, I get it. I don't blame Caudle in the least. But they've already given up on this piece of shit. Dude, and
that's
this
a good
is so
point,
bad.
Doc. Because Bob Caudle. It's bad when Bob Caudle says, what is this horseshit? You could have vacuumed him.
How many bullshit characters and gimmicks did Bob Caudle play straight man for in the NWA over the years? And he just can't do it. This shit's so bad, man. I hope Ruben really enjoyed this bullshit because he's the only one.
What's his eyes? Is he wearing like, it's like swimming goggles or something, huh?
From what I understand, I heard James Mitchell say this on Cornette Show years ago. I forget Rob's last name, but the guy that's playing the Mummy was actually a good wrestler. Bobby Blaze has told me that. But that mask he's got on is very constricting, and evidently Rob was kind of claustrophobic, and that mask did not help him out when it came to that. So like, he's like just fucking can't even breathe under that thing. But I can't tell if it's goggles. I know what you're saying, Harper. I can't tell what that shit is.
Yeah.
But it's fuck. Let's go back to the clip now. And I'll play part again because I only got like 10 seconds into it. Where Bob says they could have vacuumed him or something, Dutch. So here it is.
Good sir, and look at this. Dust flies out, Doug.
Well, he's been in storage for 3,000 years. What do you expect?
Well, it looks like they could have vacuumed him before they put him in the ring, wouldn't you think?
We're being joined.
Here comes Dale Vanna. I saw the dust fly.
Okay, Bob Caudle, I want you to keep your mouth shut. Don't interrupt me and don't say anything. You can't keep up with me. My wit's too fast. In fact, it's making my palms bleed right now. Either that or that damn stigmata again. Okay, this is the television debut of Prince Karras. So far, he has desecrated Tim Horner, Bobby Blaze, and there are more to come. Now, I don't know why we're wasting our time here with this idiot, except to give the people a good look at Prince Karras. If this idiot thinks he stands a Chinaman's chance of defeating Prince Karras here on television, he'd better guess again. You'd stand a better chance of getting Long Dong Silver to spend the night in the same room as Lorena Bobbitt. Jesus. Now, I'm tired of dealing with bottom feeders out here. I want real competition, not Tim Horner's, not the rest of these idiots. I want the big mouths out here. Where's the dirty white boy? He was a big hero at Thanksgiving Thunder. He came out and hit Prince Karras in the back with a chair. You see what it did? Dirty white boy, you better go have a breast reduction done, my friend. That's right. And they can take what they cut off of you and give it to the owner of the infamous Voodoo Butter Underpants, the dirty white girl. God knows she could use it. What about the Rock and Roll Express?
Damn.
Where are they? Huh? I challenged them 2 months ago, 3 months ago maybe, to a handicap match against Prince Karras. Where are they? They're cowards. Ricky Morton, you're a punk coward, just like your father is. And Robert Gibson, you know if you got within striking distance of Prince Karras, he'd pluck out your one good eye. Now we're sick of the bottom feeders. We're sending out a message here today, and a lot more bloodshed is going to come. I told you the blood of the Nile is going to fill the rings in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and you can all stick that in your corncob pipe and smoke it.
Well, I tell you.
Doc, where do you want to start? He's talking about plucking out Robert Gibson's one good eye. He's talking about the dirty white boy getting a breast reduction to give what they cut off to the dirty white girl. Lorena Bobbitt mentioned, Doc, any
long
thoughts?
Long dong silver.
Jesus Christ, this guy.
Calling a Chinaman's chance. That's kind of a stigmata. There is not one person watching that show in 1994 that knew what stigmata was.
Well, I mean, it goes back to necrophilia and all that other shit, too.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, he's
fucking great.
He just had a stream of consciousness that left question marks above 99% of the people's heads there.
It's great.
And if other things hadn't happened in this episode, he would already be sitting in the clubhouse waiting for his cheese again. But I'm afraid that wasn't going to be enough for today.
I would tend to agree. Harper, your thoughts on Van Horn right here?
I like it when he says, well, it's what do you expect? He's been in storage for 3,000 years.
He was unearthed on that secret episode of Storage Wars.
Right, yeah, like they were like bidding on it, and they're like, and they look in the back, and they see like an old like pinball machine, and you know, some old like baseball cards, all like a deer head, and they buy it, and then they start digging through it, and then there comes the fucking mummy out.
That's nice. Good God. Van Horn was great here.
And let me nitpick here. I don't want to pick a fight with our good dear friend, Mr. Mitchell. But I think he needs to know that if he wants to go verbally toe-to-toe with somebody, he's met his match in the Dockster here.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
But he talks about the ring filling with the blood of the Nile, but we've seen him wrestle twice and nobody's bled. At some point, I need to see somebody bleed.
Well, maybe they're building up to it.
Maybe they should be building up to a Mummy Leaves Town match.
Wow, I mean, this is incredible, man. This dude is like a great talker, and he's saddled with this anchor, like I said. But yet he's just plugging along. And dude, I came unglued watching this late at night when he said the dirty white boy needs to go get a breast reduction, and they can give whatever they cut off to the dirty white girl. And then the Gibson thing. If you get within one good inch of the mummy, he'll pluck out your other good eye, your one good eye. <You're fucking> wrong. but glorious, glorious stuff there. I hadn't intended on playing the local promo, Doc. Had you or Harper, you?
No.
Okay. All right, so we got that. Reminder for everyone out there, if you're not using it, please use the Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Great way to support the show without spending anything extra. Give it to the wives, girlfriends, or the side pieces in your life. Tell them to bookmark it. Tell them to use it. You can buy anything from Amazon, including Bobby Blaze's book, Pin Me, Pay Me, which is a true story of how to deal with life, and that's how it works. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Please use it every time you purchase things on Amazon. We go then to a segment. It's the Holiday Inn Express Abingdon, Virginia segment. First off, I do need to play it for one reason. Bob Cottle says something that I just came unglued on. So here it is.
Hotel accommodations for Smoky Mountain Wrestling were provided by the Holiday Inn Express in Abingdon, Virginia, where you will find clean, affordable smoking or non-smoking rooms, on-site laundry facilities, pool, and a complimentary deluxe continental breakfast. Or if you need the perfect ending for a romantic evening, consider their jacuzzi suites. Holiday Inn Express, Abingdon, yeah. Recipient of the 1993 Holiday Inn Worldwide Quality Excellence Award. Exit 19 in Abingdon, Virginia.
If you need the perfect ending to a romantic stay, consider their jacuzzi suite. Harper, thoughts on would you like to rent out their jacuzzi suite?
I would not. No,
super strain of antibiotic resistant bacteria floating in that water that may kill you upon contact.
Yeah, fuck that, dude. That's like a fucking... That's worse than a public pool. Because who in the fuck gets in fucking one of those, man? Fucking nasty.
A public pool?
A fucking either one of them.
Well, dude, if you got kids, if you got
express,
if you got kids, you're gonna get in a public pool more than you want to. I can tell you that right now.
Fuck that, dude. That's the world's biggest urinal.
He's right, but you're also it right, is. Doc.
Well, Mike might not have to. Mike might not have to because black people don't like to swim. But
Well, they just call the cops on us when we come. Like my kids are, they get in there and you know, pool Patty calls the cops and it's like, hey, these little black kids are in this pool. So, and then I gotta fucking play. You know, when the cops come, I gotta play both sides of the fence. I go, they ain't doing nothing. I mean, they're just swimming. They're swimming while black. What do you want me to do? I mean, hey, you know, and the cops usually they're cool. They don't, you know, I don't give the cops an attitude. I show them my ID because I carry my ID, and I'll be like, hey, you know, here, you know, we're legal, we're, you know, we're good. And they go, I'm fucking having fun, but whatever. What you about to say, Doc?
Well, I just said, you know, they taught my kid in kindergarten that 911 was what you call for an emergency. So one night he was asking, you know, so what kind of emergencies would I call 911 for? And I said, hey, if you see black people at a pool, you dial 911, little Doc. We need to get this taken care of and wrapped up and cleaned up, pal.
That's nice. I'm
glad you can joke about shit like that, you fucking asshole.
It's good to be white. What can I say?
See, you know, he goes.
What is it? Before he was just whipping it out and beating it in front of people, Louis C.K. one time said, go back to any point in the history of recorded history of man, and it's always been pretty awesome to be a white guy.
You're a fucking asshole. Doc and I were arguing one day about how long the white man has been over in human history.
It was like he's got it. This is longer. He's got longer with the strap than fucking Vern Gagne in AWA.
We were having fun, and I was like, "Well, what about when the Egyptians built the fucking pyramids, Doc?" He was like, "That was a long time ago, bro. The white man's been on top for a while." Dude, that discussion was awesome. I wish we would have had it on tape.
If your only retort to me about how long the white man's been over is the fucking pyramid, I think I've made my point.
We were going back and forth talking about like colonialism and all. It was a stupid discussion, but it was hilarious. And I was like, "Yeah, but what about the pyramids?" I just randomly said that. And Doc's like, that's a long fucking time ago, bro. Ah, shit.
And we don't. We're not. Hey, those weren't built by Egyptians. Those were built by aliens. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
I don't think that.
Oh.
I don't think that. That's a whole nother. I have a whole nother theory on that. But that's. Uh-oh. We won't talk about that now. All right, so let's keep going now that we solved the world's problems talking about who's over.
Okay, so was it last week that we were the only podcast that went from Mr. Big to Bones Thugs in 2 minutes? This is also the only podcast that will take you from Abingdon, Virginia, to the pyramids of Egypt inside of 2 minutes.
I don't think people understand. The discussion was like quite serious. You were like being all philosophical, talking about, I don't know, bro, the white man's been on top for a while, and we were using it in terms of wrestling, but it was like a serious discussion.
Well, at first I was concerned that if we lost our title, we, you know, if we had to give up the title, the retribution would be severe. And then I realized, if it hadn't happened in the last 10,000 years, it's probably not going to happen while I'm alive.
All right, we keep going. Candido is going up against the Dirty White Boy next. If you didn't know from the local promo earlier in the episode, all of a sudden it appears that Tammy is with Candido, and Bob Cottle and Dutch speculate this. while Tammy is out at ringside, because she's out there and I guess supporting her man, so to say. At about the 49:15 mark, and I'm trying to cue it up because I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Let me hit play on this thing as soon as it'll go. But Candido takes one of the best backdrops you'll ever see. So y'all are looking at my screen right now, but they're getting to the end of it. Dirty White Boy is going to win, but it's by DQ because Tammy hit Candido. Or Tammy with a purse. But did you see that backdrop?
He got air,
dude. That was beautiful.
And a Candido purse.
Candido hits White Boy with the purse, as you saw, and it's a DQ, and the match is over at that point. So, thoughts, Doc, on anything that happened here? As I still got it playing on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, I thought this was a really good match between two guys that I give a shit about. So that's good.
Yes.
When Sonny started to get in and Dirty White Girl started pulling her skirt up, I thought that made Dirty White Girl the biggest baby face in the promotion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God damn. And we're not going to get any resolution out of this because this ain't Sunday Bloody Sunday, pal.
How long must we sing this song?
How long? How long?
Dude, look at Brian Lee putting that chain to Dirty White Boy.
Shut up. You remember the video where they're at Red Rocks in Colorado and he's out there with the flag and he's breathing smoke in the video while he's singing because it's cold? Man, that shit was awesome. Yeah. I can't believe you don't know that shit.
The fuck? I think he's just working us.
I do too.
I think I'm going to go back in the time machine and make sure the black man's over in society. And the black man's going to hold the strap. How you like that, asshole?
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Y'all are fucking idiots. Tracy Smothers helps clear the ring as the Dirty White Boy was hung by the chain. Not hung by the chain, but choked with a chain towards the end of the episode. And that's how they go off air. There's no promo at the end. They go off air on the January 22nd, 1994 episode. Doc, any other
really
thoughts on that match?
Well, it's really good because it shows Primetime's not afraid to use that chain either. So maybe he can get through this thing.
Maybe so, maybe so. But good stuff there. We do have to give out some disability checks. Before we do so, please consider becoming a patron. tinyurl.com/bttpatron. We did not intend to do this with the patron episodes, but one thing happened recently, and we've talked about it a lot. The Broads episode, when we hit 200 five-star reviews, it didn't go up for free, and the reason was because it sucks so fucking bad. So if you want to hear that one, go to tinyurl.com/bttpatron, become a patron, get access to that one, and I'm thinking we're at about 90-plus patron-only episodes at this point, including the world-class episodes that are up there. So again, tinyurl.com/bttpatron. For $2 a month, you get access to about 90 episodes at this time. Let's do disability checks. Dude, this is I think I gave last week an 8.5. I'll give this one an 8.7. Because Del Rey and Van Horn and Del Rey on multiple occasions had me piss my pants. So I laughed a lot. I enjoyed this. Throw out Mike Furness's shit and some of the other stuff that just was terrible. Throw out that Moondog bullshit at the beginning because this show did not get off to a good start, but it came correct at the end and throughout. So there you go. I'm going 8.7. Doc, what you giving it? Because I know Harper waits to hear both of ours. That's his gimmick.
Yeah.
See, he even admits it. He doesn't care. Doc, your thoughts.
What did you say now? What
you said 8.7. That's too 8.7. Low, bro.
Too low?
I think so.
That's too high.
See?
Really?
This was a good episode, but you had 20% of this episode taken up with the Moondogs, the Bruise Brothers, and the Furnaces. And that that's too much. And so for that and all so many more reasons, it's a good episode. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to say 8.2.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah. The fucking God, bro. They fucking ruin everything, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What you you said 8.2, Doc?
Yep.
All right, what you giving it, Harper?
I guess now, fuck, at 8.5, I was thinking 9, but yeah, now that you said that, mm-hmm. Dude, when they leaving?
Don't let that motherfucker influence you, Harper. See, this is what pisses me off about Doc's ratings. This is what pisses me off about Doc's ratings. He's not consistent. He's not consistent in that. Sometimes he goes, oh, something good happened, and this part was real good, and that overshadows that bullshit that took place. So I ain't worried about that bullshit. And then the next fucking week, he flip-flops it back and forth just like a fucking broad does, because that's how broads do shit. They flip-flop all the time because they can't make their fucking mind up. Then he goes, oh, no, I can't rate it that high because this segment was bad. Make up your fucking mind.
Okay, so hold on. I'm not consistent, and I flip-flop like a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Except I gave this episode an 8.2, and I gave last week's episode an 8.2. Are you having a stroke or something? Or do you just need to get mad? I mean, fucking
your way
get
analyzing an episode is inconsistent, is my point.
You go get, if you need to beat up something, go find Sasha after the after the show and leave me alone, all right?
I would never do that.
I've been beat it up downstairs. I would never advocate for violence against broads.
Hopper, what are you giving it?
That's an 8.5.
See, thank you.
You act like 8.5 and 8.7 are like two completely different stratospheres.
But Harper's a man of reason. He heard a logical argument and he said, you know what? I am flexible enough that when I hear data the other way,
yeah,
I can change my opinion a little bit based on new facts and information, unlike you.
And at 8.7, I mean, that's too close to a 9. Fuck that.
Right. We round up, and now he's got a 9. Yeah. Why don't you just give it a 10?
Says the dude who was about to give it a 9, because I think you're forgetting how great that – once we got to Del Rey in the end was.
Y'all, you just love the Bruise Brothers. We get it.
God, no, I don't. Holy shit.
You want the Moondog's autograph. Okay.
Bro, keep it like this, dude. There's another week or two of Moondog's bullshit promos that we'll skip through. Just saying. So, all right, we gotta do the Government Cheese Award. I do want to remind everyone, use the or go to the Facebook group. It's tinyurl.com/BTTFB group. Come join the discussion. Have fun. Bug Harper about the Golden Girls and all 50 mentions he gets every single day about Golden Girls stuff on the group. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTFB. Facebook group. It's in addition to the page that we have. The group is where you can interact with other listeners. So there you go. 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts are always appreciated. And then I want to remind you to go to our Pro Wrestling Tee store or the Tee Public store. You can get to the Pro Wrestling Tee store by going to facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Click shop now. Brings you to Pro Wrestling Tees. If you're looking for the Tee Public store, just check the show notes and show description, and the link is there for you to access very, very easily. Shout out to the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing with ROH's Brian Malonis, Mike Crockett. Every single Monday they plug our stuff, so go listen to them on Mondays. And then also, our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast, the northern version of BTT, Joe Murata, Michael Quinn. Check them out as well. Just search OVP or Our Vantage Point, and you should be able to find them wherever you get your podcast from. Let's go out and give some government cheese. I went first with the disability checks. You go first with the cheese, Doc.
Oh, I don't think – this is so easy to do, and we're all three going to have the same. Del Rey gets it, pal.
Yeah, for real.
How do you not give it to him?
Well, here's the thing. There is an argument here that could be made for the Dirty White Boy, because he's really carrying a lot of water right now. But Del Rey just was Del Rey.
Yeah. He should get a Rolex, too.
You're going to change it up and give him a Rolex?
If he just nibbles inside the cheese enough, we buried a Rolex in the middle for him.
Dude, what would be the equivalent of a Rolex in Smoky Mountain? I mean, wow. I haven't heard that in 20 years. A Swatch. Good God. Those fucking pathetic plastic watches were so popular.
Yeah, Jesus, I remember Christ. That.
They were like $30 for one. And they were literally a piece of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck, man? What were people doing back then? It's so 90s or 80s or whatever fucking era it was in. God, them things were pitiful. Doc, anything else before we get out of here, man? I mean, we all get it to Del Rey, I think rightfully so.
I couldn't be more ready to be done with you and these people. I like Harper, all right, but everybody else, yeah, they got to go.
You mad at me still because I didn't know that song?
I'm mad at everything that's
ever
lived. They're
going to rip me a new one on the Facebook group after this shit airs. They're going to be like, what the fuck is wrong with him?
Yeah. Well,
sorry, I don't know what to tell you. Shit happens, you know? There it is. All right. Sunday. Well, Doc doesn't have anything else. Harper's over there singing. Harper, if you don't have anything further, you can hit the tagline, man.
Book this shit, bitch.